Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. It is good to be back. Let's see if I still know how to do this. For those of you who do not know, I have been in Canada for the past week-ish. Went on Sunday, got back late on Friday. So just sort of kind of recovering from the trip, meaning, you know, just kind of getting my bearings back, getting back into routine and everything like that. Was a phenomenal trip. Had a ton of fun. Went out to Calgary, went out to Banff, and then went to Vancouver to sort of wrap up the trip. Everything was amazing. Everything was great. No complaints. Calgary, I think, really underrated city. Banff was so much freaking fun. And then I had a blast in Vancouver as well. So definitely highly recommend all three of those places if you've never been. But like I said, trying to get back in the swing of things. I know for those of you who did not know, I put out videos every single day while I was out, and obviously on the audio podcast as well. The audio side may have seen a little bit of a non-normal routine as I tried to upload things when I had the opportunity, but on the video side, you probably didn't notice much of a difference, but it is a little bit weird getting back in the swing of things as we get sort of settled into this sort of middle of nowhere type part of the season, as there's not a whole heck of a lot going on at this time. But as I've told you guys, there is still a ton to talk about. I have a ton of things lined up. And one of my favorite things to do around this time of year is rank the Packers. There's 90 players on the roster. So let's rank them. Let's do 30 players over 3 days. It's exactly what I did last year. And we'll go today 90 through 61. And then tomorrow we'll do 60 through 31. And then we'll wrap up on Monday with the top 30 players in order on the Green Bay Packers. So excited to kick that off today. Before I do so, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Celestial Prophet 20, Aaron Payne, Dip Bleep 13. I'll just put it that way. Curtis Hall, Bollocker 19. That's probably another one that I think you're trying to do a little something there with the name, but we'll give it a pass. And then new Pack-A-Day Podcast Hall of Fame member, Peter Rataka or Ratacha. Sorry, which one it is, I'm not sure. But Peter, thank you so much for that. And thank you all of you for signing up. Again, great time to become a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Tons of great options out there for you. And you know, before you know it, it is going to be training camp and there's going to be a ton of new content. Members only video should be coming out in the next couple days here. Members only Q&A every single week. So you are definitely going to want to get signed up. There were a couple of pieces of news and notes while I was gone, so let's cover those really quick. The biggest of which was the Packers hired their new president and CEO, Ed Policy. Not a surprising name by any stretch of the imagination. If anything, the big takeaway here is probably that the Packers spent way too much money on a search firm just to confirm the guy that they were probably always going to go with anyway. But that's neither here nor there. Not your money, not my money, not salary cap money. So we don't really need to worry about that. And I'm saying it in jest, obviously. This is a huge hire for Green Bay. Whether it's good, bad, ugly, indifferent, amazing, or anything in between, I have no idea. I know that this was somebody that is very well thought of in the organization, had a lot to do with the Titletown district, and clearly, the Packers and the entire organization, the board of directors, thought that this was the right decision for the franchise. I can tell you that I know Mark Murphy is not going to want to have his legacy being that his last move as basically president and CEO is to hire somebody that's not up to par, that can't handle the job. Obviously, Ed Policy has it in his bloodline, you know, a little bit that he can do this sort of position. And I think even beyond that, he's worked really hard to work himself into this type of position. But whether or not it ends up working out well and what Ed Policy's legacy will be as the president and CEO of the Packers, that's in Ed Policy's hands. And like I joked about on Twitter, we don't have all 22 of the offices of Ed Policy. I can't break down what he's been doing over the past however long he's been with the Packers. I don't know how his TPS reports look. Who knows, right? But I am sure that the Packers did their due diligence here. This was somebody that, again, was often rumored to be the successor to Mark Murphy. They, you know, dotted their I's and crossed their T's with the search firm to make sure and make sure that they were not making a mistake here. Doesn't mean whatever, that who knows what could happen from here on out. But I think you have to give the Packers the benefit of the doubt on this one. This is a huge decision. Seems like the right one on paper, but now it'll be Ed Policy's opportunity to live up to those expectations as soon as Mark Murphy ends his tenure, which will be next year, and then Policy will take over from there. The only other real piece of news is that Jordan Love was engaged. So, you know, congratulations to Jordan Love. I'm sure that was probably one of his, huge offseason activities that he had planned, and awesome to see them get engaged, and just kind of a cool story there. So kudos and congratulations to Jordan and Ronica. That does kind of bring up the Jordan Love contract, which personally, I was a little worried was going to get done while I was out in Canada. It did not, for better or worse, but I still think this is probably something right around the corner. Remember, Jordan was just on vacation, so there's always a world in which they got the contract done with, and it just takes Jordan coming back to sign it. It could be that they're still far apart on it. These are very difficult conversations and negotiations. They still have got a few weeks to iron everything out before the start of training camp, and it's not like there is a hard deadline at the start of camp, but I'm sure both parties would love to have it done, as both parties have said. You know, before Jordan left, it sounded like things were trending in the right direction. I have no information that would trend otherwise. So hopefully, again, that this gets done sooner rather than later, but no real update other than we're still waiting, and it should hopefully, fingers crossed, get done soon. Also, the NFL Sunday Ticket lawsuit, that'll go through appeals and everything else, but it'll be interesting to see how this sort of affects the landscape in the NFL, and theoretically could have some effect on the Jordan Love contract. If they think that this is going to have a severe, you know, or severe repercussions on future salary caps, that might change how this Jordan Love contract looks. So, or at least how the Packers need to go about it. I'm sure it's not going to change things from Jordan's point of view or his agent's point of view, but the Packers are going to have to be a little bit more cognizant of what that could mean for the salary cap moving forward with how they deal with this contract. And this will be something that is very much going to be worth monitoring. Like I said, this will go through appeals first, and who knows if it sticks and it goes through. This will, I'm sure, be caught up in legal, you know, with lawyers and litigation and everything else for probably the foreseeable future. But right now, NFL owes a significant amount of money, and you know that that's just not going to come out of the upper echelon. That's going to come out of the teams and the players and everything else as well with future salary caps if that does come to fruition. So that will be one to very much monitor going forward, and you can bet that we will be doing so. Last but not least, no supplemental draft in 2024. We'll see if that ends up just kind of going by the wayside anyway. There's usually not many players that actually get selected. It's been, I think, 4 or 5 years since somebody has. The players have not turned out in a while. So we'll see if that ends up happening. But for this year, 2024, no supplemental draft. All right, that gets us to our bottom 30 players on the Green Bay Packers today. I want to say, first and foremost, this is not to disparage or bring down any of the players at the bottom of this roster. It's just not. I know somebody has to be number 90. Let's just say 90 through, I don't know, probably about 70. The bottom 20, you could pretty much put in almost any order on this list. Not going to argue with you too much. And if you really like James Esther, Messiah Swinson, Deslin Alexander, and you want to put them higher on your list, by all means, be my guest. These are loosely in order, I think, in these bottom 20. And then I think as we go a little bit further, we'll have a better feel. A lot of these are rookie undrafted free agents that it's going to take a little bit for us to get to know better and see what they can do in training camp. We got a very small glimpse in rookie minicamp and in OTAs and minicamp. And you have to remember too, OTAs and minicamp, you know, a lot of times, especially in OTAs, in minicamp, they didn't do it, but in OTAs, like the third teamers and the mid-second teamers are all on the opposite side of the field. You know, everyone's watching the top team and what they're doing on this side, because those are the big time players. So even the undrafted guys, it's not like we got a great look, but we'll go 90 through 61 today. And then again, tomorrow will be 60 through 31, and the final 30 will be on Monday, 30 through number one. But let's get started right away. Number 90 on my list is Raylan Goforth, undrafted free agent linebacker out of Washington. He is somebody that is probably going to have to make it on special teams. I thought just kind of even going through some of the individual drills and then in some of the team activities, it just looked like he was swimming a little bit. And that's not abnormal for any rookie, much less an undrafted free agent. But if he wants to make any sort of name for himself, it looks like it's probably going to have to be on special teams in order for him to have a shot to certainly make the team, which will be a very long shot, but more specifically have a shot in the practice squad. But he was again, a player that they didn't sign many undrafted free agents, and he was one of them. We'll see what he can do in training camp and if he can make a name for himself. But again, if he can, probably going to have to be on teams. Number 89, James Ester, undrafted free agent, defensive tackle out of Northern Illinois. I think he will have a legitimate chance to be a practice squad guy. And I think that's one of the things I'm going to kind of take a time out here that we should discuss here on this list today. I know that this is probably the least sexy of the group going from 61 to 90 here, but there will be players that make the 53 on our list today. I can almost guarantee it. And there will also be a plethora of players that make the practice squad from this list. And it wouldn't shock me if some of these guys, even at the bottom portion of this, do end up making the practice squad, or maybe even eventually one of these guys making a 53-man roster. So I know these are bottom of the roster guys, but they're always still worth paying attention to. You never know when there's going to be a player that is going to all of a sudden go from unknown to becoming a core member of the team. We have seen it in a variety of different situations in the past. A lot of undrafted wide receivers that have had success. We can go over it. I mean, Ryan Longwell, undrafted free agent kicker. You don't think anything's going to happen with him. Sam Shields, undrafted free agent corner. These guys, they go on to make impact for they go on to make an impact for Green Bay. Some of these guys undoubtedly will. So even though, again, we're going bottom of the roster, still keep an eye on all of these, and it's still fun to get to know them better because you never know which one might just be that next Sam Shields that helps propel a team to a Super Bowl. So, again, James Ester, undrafted free agent, defensive tackle, Northern Illinois. Like I said, I do think he should be a legit practice squad option. Not a lot of depth at the defensive tackle position on this team, just like from a pure numbers standpoint. So, for that reason, he should have an opportunity. He was a guy that was a little disruptive in the backfield in college. He's going to have to probably put on, again, a little bit of functional strength to give any real threat to anyone above him on the roster. But I'm intrigued and excited to watch him a little bit more in camp. Number 88, Messiah Swinson, undrafted free agent tight end, Arizona State. Another UDFA with practice squad possibilities. Lacking any really, dynamic trait. And he's another player that's probably going to have to show up on special teams and show that he can be a blocker. Another guy I'm intrigued by, but again, kind of bottom of the list type of guy here. 87, Tyler Coyle, first year safety, practice squad last season, signed early 2023 to the practice squad. Did make a couple plays in OTAs. He's a physical guy, another guy that will have to make his name on special teams. He's just buried on the depth chart right now. When you have Xavier McKinney, right? You've got three rookies who they drafted. And then you get to Anthony Johnson Jr., a second-year player who they drafted just a season ago, who has also been taking the starter rep so far opposite Xavier McKinney. Then you have both Zane Anderson and Benny Sapp, two players who were on the 53-man roster a season ago. For Coyle, that is a lot of players to jump to try to get into a 53-man roster conversation. Could he be a practice squad guy again? Yes. But could they release Zane Anderson and Benny Sapp and try to get them back on the practice squad? Also, yes, and you're probably not keeping three safeties. So Coyle's going to have some work to do if he even wants to get on the practice squad. Number 86, Ellis Merriweather, first-year running back, was on the practice squad a season ago. UMass Amherst was his college when he was an undrafted free agent. To me, Merriweather lacks any burst and any real elite trait. I think he can kind of be a little bit of that do everything sort of back, catches it okay, blocks okay, runs okay, but there's nothing dynamic or special about any of it. And I think you start looking at this running back depth chart. We know Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd. Then you've got an AJ Dillon and Emmanuel Wilson who made the roster. We'll talk about another UDFA who I think is going to be a little bit ahead of him. And you just start looking at some of the roster math and it starts getting a little bit complicated for him even to potentially make a practice squad. I do think with this type of running back, there are players like this that make a name for themselves in the NFL that maybe don't have the dynamic traits, but because they can do everything, including blitz pickups. They can make it in this league. So I don't think it's a lost cause for Merriweather, but I think he's going to have a process to go through to get to that point where he could be potentially that guy that does hang on as a sort of bottom of the roster 53-man guy. The NBA Finals are officially over, and congratulations to the Boston Celtics on winning the championship, as much as it pains me to say as a Milwaukee Bucks fan. But even though the NBA Finals are over, the hoops action doesn't stop on Prize Picks. Women's basketball is just getting started, and young stars like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are making names for themselves, and it's been the most talked about WNBA season ever. And you're not going to want to miss out on the action, period. And of course, with Prize Picks, you could win 100 times your cash watching stars like Breonna Stewart and Aja Wilson ball out every single week. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and of course, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. I do have to say that I am a little bit bummed that Cameron Brink recently suffered a torn ACL, but I'm still super stoked to watch some WNBA action this week. I'm going to be going heavy on Arike Ogunbowale and Alyssa Thomas this week, and might be even on the lookout for some Kelsey Plum three-pointer options as well. Either way, it should be an exciting week of WNBA action that's even more exciting with Prize Picks. The best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Number 85, Joel Wilson, first-year tight end, Central Michigan. Earlier in the offseason, I did a breakdown of all the players at the back of the roster that you've probably never heard of and, you know, maybe haven't, you know, just probably heard talked about it all and any sort of breakdowns. And I went through all of them and Joel Wilson was one of them. He was one of the highest guys on my list. I really liked him. I think he was like third or fourth on my list of guys that, again, you've probably never heard of. And I kind of just liked his overall ability at tight end. He's got good size. He can get up the seam a little bit run after catch, a little bit of blocking ability. This is probably a practice squad type guy. And, you know, somebody that is probably a year or two away from maybe being in that conversation. But I do think there's a little bit of like a Robert Tonyan type player there where, you know, again, it's going to take a little bit of time, but these tight ends, they're interesting. You don't necessarily always have to have something dynamic to your game. If you can put together a little bit of run after catch, a little bit of ability to separate and get up the seam and a little bit of blocking ability, like you're a number three tight end in this league for a while. I think he has that potential. It's just not well-rounded yet. And I do kind of like him as a developmental practice squad type of guy. Number 84, Lasita Smith, second-year interior offensive lineman out of Virginia Tech, was a Cardinals sixth-round pick a couple years ago. The thing I'll say about Smith, a couple things. One, he does look the part. I do think he looks like a, you know, sort of shorter, squattier, but kind of impressive, you know, interior offensive lineman. He's got left guard, center, right guard versatility. You know, again, former sixth round pick. When you're a draft pick, clearly teams think a little bit higher of you. And I do think this is somebody that could come in and at least have some level of competition along the interior of the offensive line. I think he's got work to do with the competition that is there, but there's not a lot on the interior, if we're being honest. You know, you start getting past the first few starters. Royce Newman, you know, he's certainly not a lock to make the team. You know, Monk is going to make it. You know, Myers is going to make it. You know, Sean Ryan's going to make it. Elton Jenkins. But then after those kind of top grouping on the interior, there's not a ton. So Smith does potentially project as a practice squad type of guy. And I am looking forward to seeing what he can do in camp because he kind of came in and we didn't get to know him all that well in the OTA and mini camp session. So, intrigued, I will say. He was, again, somebody that went to the rookie mini camp and as a tryout guy and made it off of that. So good start. Now let's see what he can do in camp and see if he can actually make a name for himself. Number 83, I'm going Alex Magoo here. Now listen, Alex Magoo is probably a little bit more talented overall than maybe some of the players that I'm about to name in the next 10, 15 players, right? As a quarterback, he can, you know, he obviously was at what, CFL MVP. He was somebody who showed the ability to make it on the practice squad as a number three QB for this team, but, and is obviously athletic enough to transition to wide receiver. Like he's a talented guy, but he is moving to wide receiver. He's 28 years old and he at a position on this team where even if you're like a, if you've been a wide receiver and you showed some ability there, to try to crack this team, even on a practice squad for a wide receiver, is a near impossibility. And again, we're not talking about somebody that's making this switch at age 22, 23, where the best years are still ahead of him. He's making this switch at age 28. And he missed almost all of OTAs and minicamps with an injury, which is going to put him behind even more. So of everyone on the roster, I'd have to say Alex Magoo might have the absolute toughest time. Now, could he make a practice squad? Because as a scout team guy, he brings a lot of versatility. Somebody who could play scout team quarterback, scout team wide receiver, maybe do some H-back stuff, some special team stuff. Maybe. But I don't think the upside's there, and I think he's going to have a really tough time cracking a practice squad, much less anything above and beyond that. Number 82, Christian Young, first-year linebacker out of Arizona, former safety. This is somebody that, when I did my players you probably don't know, was number one on my list. I really liked his tape. I did think he looked a bit undersized and still transitioning, we'll put it that way, to that linebacker position. Didn't look totally natural, didn't look totally comfortable. I do think there is some potential upside there, but he's got a ways to go in that transition, and somebody probably at best that's looking at trying to fight for a practice squad spot, another player where special teams is going to be key for him. Number 81, Spencer Wagy, first-year defensive lineman out of North Dakota State. He was claimed off the San Francisco 49ers. Huge RAS guy, ton of talent. Clearly, though, the 49ers didn't think that that talent was translating because, again, they released him. But listen, Green Bay has done this in the past where they've found these waiver claims and have been able to make something out of them. Clearly fits the athletic profile. We talked about it earlier when we talked about James Esther. There's not a lot of depth on the interior of the defensive line when it comes to potential practice squad spots. And with that raw athleticism, I do think Wagy has a really good chance to make it to the practice squad. Number 80, Zion Gilbert, first-year corner out of Florida Atlantic. Feisty cornerback, special teams guy, plays a little bit in the slot. I think he's got a ways to go, and this is another one, probably practice squad at best, but they did use him a little bit with the first team on that side. Now, I've talked about this in the past. It's kind of like a snake draft where you do the first team guys and then like the top second and third team guys over here. And then like the leftovers go as like getting a few snaps at the ones. So it's not always the best thing, but I thought he like didn't stand out as somebody that didn't necessarily like, oh my God, this guy clearly doesn't belong with the ones on this side of the field. I'm a little bit intrigued. I think this is somebody that has a long ways to go to make it towards anything. And when I say playing with the ones, please do not get it mixed up. I am not saying that he has any real opportunity to do that in any capacity. I'm not saying he's going to be somebody that's competing with Ballantyne and Stokes and those. That's not the case. I'm just saying he got opportunities to work with the ones on like a few plays here and there and didn't look totally out of place. So number 80 on my list, but I do think he's going to be somebody that continues to compete in training camp and will have an opportunity to make a practice squad. Number 79, undrafted free agent that I really liked, Jarvion Howard, running back out of Elkhorn State. I think he's got a little bit of juice, a little bit of size, a little bit of shiftiness. I liked what I saw. I think he's probably fifth on the list, though, still. Again, you've got Josh Jacobs, you've got Marshawn Lloyd, you've got Dylan, and then I think Emmanuel Wilson will still be ahead of him. But I am intrigued. I do think there's a little bit of something there. Keep, you know, potential practice squad guy. I think that's probably somebody that you want back. And you can have a little bit of developmental potential there, but he's going to have to outwork both Emmanuel Wilson and AJ Dillon if he wants any sort of shot at making the 53 as that third running back, which is going to be a very tall task. Number 78, Aaron Mosby, second year defensive end, does have some special teams experience, also has played some off-ball linebacker. There were some questions as to whether or not with this move to 4-3, would they use him as a defensive end? Would they use him as an off-ball linebacker with the lower numbers previously at off-ball linebacker? I personally thought maybe he would get a look more in that spot. However, they put him at defensive end. It's a little bit of a crowded room right now, but the fact that he can play some teams, the fact that he does have the opportunity and ability to play a couple different positions on defense, that does give him some versatility, but with all of the defensive ends, especially, I mean, it's just going to be tough even with the top five, right? You've got Preston Smith, you've got LVN, you've got Rashawn Gary, and you've got Kingsley Nibare, and then Brenton Cox. Kenneth Odemegwu's making a name for himself a little bit. So like those numbers just start adding up a little bit. So tough spot for Mosby to be in, but that special teams experience does give him a little bit of an edge there. Number 77, Deslon Alexander, first year defensive end out of Pitt. this is somebody that, again, when I did my players you probably don't know, caught my eye. And then in OTAs and mini camps, he had multiple sacks. He looked good. He was getting into the backfield a lot of times against the second, third teamers. But this is somebody that I do think not only has practice squad potential, but I don't want to go anything higher than that, but he's shown out so far. Like, he has put some stuff on the field that we saw live that was impressive. And like I said, he was somebody that I went and watched the tape of, and I was very much intrigued by. So good start for Deslon Alexander, a long way to go, but definitely, definitely intrigued by Alexander moving forward. Weird spelling of Alexander, by the way, Alexandre, not D-E-R, but I digress. 76, Dimitri Stanley, undrafted free agent wide receiver out of Iowa State. Not super productive in college, slot sort of guy. Kind of, you know, line him up in the backfield, has some special teams ability. He actually, I think, has performed better than the next guy on my list, Julian Hicks, which we'll talk about in a second here. I just think Hicks has a little bit higher upside, but I am intrigued by both of these wide receivers. I think both Stanley and Hicks are really good options to make the practice squad. Now, they're going to have to battle guys like Grant Dubose, Samore Toure. We'll see what the appetite is for those guys making a 53, or if they want to come back to a practice squad for a team that has a bunch of super young, super talented wide receivers. But Stanley and Hicks, I do think, are going to be in that conversation in a pretty significant way for that 16-man practice squad. And Julian Hicks, I talked about for all the UDFAs, he was probably my favorite. Really liked what he showed. Donovan Jennings, we'll talk about too in just a moment. He was another one, but I was shocked at how impressed I was with Julian Hicks throwing on the tape from Albany. I think he's got good size, good hands, good speed, show he could win downfield, show he could be a little bit of a possession guy. Just overall impressed. And now he hasn't done anything in OTAs, minicamps, rookie minicamps yet to wow in any sort of real way, but I do think that there is something there. Is that a Geronimo Allison type player? Is that a Jarrett Boykin sort of player? I don't know. I'm not there yet, but I do think there is enough potential there that I would probably keep him around on the practice squad and see what he could potentially become. Number 74 on my list might be the first one that has the best opportunity to make the 53-man roster. That's Peter Bowden, undrafted free agent, long snapper out of Wisconsin. What do you want me to say? Like, he has a legitimate opportunity to face Matt Orzech and potentially win that battle. He's a UDFA long snapper. I think probably the peak about you can get for a UDFA long snapper is about 74th on the list. So that's where Peter Bowden comes in. But like I said, probably the first guy that we've discussed so far that has a real, true, legitimate chance to make the 53-man roster. So does number 73, his counterpart, Matt Orzech. Not great a season ago, I didn't think, personally. He's a long snapper, though. So, you know, he is a veteran at the position. Green Bay did sign him as a free agent a season ago. I would put him as a leg up so far on Bowden. Orzech has been the one that has primarily snapped to like Joseph and to Anders Carlson. But, you know, I do think that's going to be an open competition come training camp. We'll see if that changes up a little bit. But or like I said, Orzech wasn't great a season ago. Either way, he's just a long snapper. Don't think Green Bay has probably found a big time, you know, decade long snapper at this point. They just need one of those guys, Bowden or Orzech, to make the team be competent and not screw anything up in any big moments. And I think that would go a long way and hopefully helping out Anders Carlson, whoever wins the kicking competition as well. Speaking of which, number 72, James Turner, UDFA kicker out of Michigan. Now, we have no opportunity yet to see James Turner, but I do think he is a opportunity, or like will have an opportunity to make this team. I think this is going to be somebody that, unlike Jack Podlesny, who never really seemed like a viable option, I do think Turner is going to get an opportunity here. And I do think his experience at Michigan, specifically in some big games, kicking outside, kicking in the Big Ten, are going to serve him well. Now, I know they probably wanted the UFL guy, Jake Bailey. You know, it didn't work out that way, but they end up getting, you know, James Turner because Bailey went to the Lions and the Lions cut Turner. So maybe it ends up being a blessing in disguise, but I do think he will have the opportunity to compete for that job. And again, higher at a higher level than maybe Podlesny was able to before they moved on from him. Number 71, Gemin Green, cornerback. They signed him from the New York Giants. He did have some experience playing special teams for the Giants. He did get actually in some games. So this is not exactly your big time free agent signing, but listen, Rich Bisaccia has done a good job in finding some of these guys in the past that have some special teams ability and can maybe be used as a defensive back as well. And we'll see if Gemin Green can be the next, you know, Keyshawn Nixon. I'm not talking about as a returner, but guy that gets a bare minimum deal, who had experience playing some special teams in the past and now can all of a sudden have a chance to make a team. He was a little bit banged up in minicamp, but this is somebody that has played in the NFL and it has experience, just kind of like Keyshawn Nixon did. Not as much experience as Nixon did with the Raiders, but still somebody that I kind of want to keep a little bit more of an eye on because he does have that experience. And it's not like Green Bay has a ton of depth at corner. So interested to keep an eye on him and see if he can be somebody that does start making a name for himself in training camp. Number 70, Greg Joseph, kicker. Of course, longtime Vikings kicker, 29 years old, has looked okay in OTAs and minicamp so far. But this is somebody, again, that will have a real opportunity to make the 53. It's probably going to come down to Carlson and Joseph, but we'll see what James Turner can do as well. And listen, even if Joseph is the guy, I don't think that's going to give anyone a great feel of like, oh, found their kicker. We're good to go. It's going to be inconsistent from Joseph probably as well, because it has been his entire career. So if Joseph makes it, it's probably because Anders Carlson really fell off. And like I said, I don't know that that's going to give anyone a ton of confidence that, oh, Joseph is going to be great moving forward. Now, like Brian Gutekunst has talked about, some of these kickers, they get better in later in their careers. And it sometimes takes a little bit for kickers to kind of get into their groove. Maybe that'll be the case with Greg Joseph, but if it's not, this might be Joseph's last opportunity. He's going to have a really big camp to beat out Anders Carlson. I think Anders Carlson is clearly the leader in the clubhouse, but Joseph will be competition for him, and we'll see if he can get the job done. 69 is a player who was on the 53-man roster a season ago. Benny Sapp III, second-year safety, Northern Iowa, big-time special teams guy. Really like Benny Sapp. Had a big interception in the preseason a year ago. This is somebody I think can make the 53, and I would probably have him a little bit higher, but my goodness, when you draft three safeties, you've got Anthony Johnson Jr., Zane Anderson, who had three interceptions in minicamp, by the way, Xavier McKinney, like that's just a loaded safety room, but I bet they would love to have Benny Sapp back in the practice squad. Doughty gets claimed to a team to be on their 53, so keep an eye out as Benny Sapp for one of the priority practice squad signings, as he probably doesn't make the 53, and then they do everything in their power to get him back on that 16-man practice squad. 68, make or break season for Jonathan Ford, former seventh round pick. He has to show that he can get on the field. And this is a tough spot because you've got five defensive tackles that are probably going to be pretty much locks to make the team. Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, TJ Slayton, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt. And then you've got Jonathan Ford. Now remember, Jonathan Ford did make the initial 53 last year, and then they needed to make some roster moves. So Ford got released, and then he was on the practice squad for the remainder of the season. But it's now or never. He has to be able to get on the field. And if not, they probably just release him. And I don't know that they're going to be, I guess he probably gets another opportunity on the practice squad, but maybe Jonathan Ford says he wants another opportunity somewhere else. Maybe goes to a different team's practice squad. This is going to be a very important offseason for Jonathan Ford. 67, I'm going Royce Newman, former fourth round interior offensive lineman. You know the story here. Starter as a rookie, looked, dare I say, decent to solid as a rookie. Played over 1,000 snaps for a really good Packers offense. Looked like they found maybe a guy that maybe wasn't going to be like a key starter, but certainly looked like somebody that you could have faith in, that you could at least get by with. And then the rest of his career from there on out has been massively disappointing. You really have almost no faith if he has to go in the game. And he now has this $3 million contract, which is probably a non-starter for him if he wants to make this 53-man roster. So really tough for him to make the team with the contract that he's currently on. Do I think it's impossible that he could still make it if he restructures that contract in some way? I do. And I don't hate him as like the 10th interior offensive lineman, or 10th offensive lineman, excuse me. It does have some versatility, but it hasn't been good enough. And this is going to be another now or never guy who probably also needs to redo his contract if he wants to remain on the team. Number 66, Keyshawn Banks, edge player out of San Diego State, was a undrafted free agent a year ago, did get activated for that 49ers game in the divisional round, did play a snap, did a nice job setting the edge on that one snap. This is somebody that, had there not been a Brenton Cox, had Kenneth Odemegwu not been making a name for himself a little bit more, we might be talking about as a potential fifth edge rusher. I really do like Keyshawn Banks as a potential practice squad guy. The reason being is I think you can call him up and play him 10, 15 snaps a game on defense, and if there were injuries, and not have any issues. I think he can be a good run defender. I don't think he's ever going to be a dynamic pass rusher, but I do think there is an opportunity to be able to utilize his skill set. And that's important when you're, you know, putting a practice squad together. He's still young and he's still growing as a player. So definitely somebody I would like to see on the practice squad for Green Bay this year. 65, the guy that they gave the biggest signing bonus for of all of their undrafted free agents and most guaranteed money to, that is Donovan Jennings, UDFA interior offensive lineman out of South Florida. I do think not only does Jennings have a real opportunity to make the practice squad and will be a favorite to do so if he gets released, I do think he has the opportunity to make the 53-man roster. If Royce Newman does get cut, like I said, that interior of the offensive line doesn't have a ton of depth there. And Jennings is a guy that they put some guaranteed money towards. He looks the part, and this is a type of player that they've had success with in the past, played tackle in college, now moves inside. This is a developmental player that could have just exactly what Green Bay looks for from a UDFA to kind of stick on the team. He's going to have to show out. There's going to be a lot of competition on that offensive line, but like Jennings' chances, and he should, again, have a real opportunity to fight for a real legitimate roster spot. With number 64 on my list, that is Kadeem Telford. Now, he's a first-year undrafted free agent rookie from a season ago, went to UAB. He's a massive dude. The only reason that he's not talked about as a massive dude is because they have Travis Glover and Caleb Jones on this team who are even more massive dudes. And Telford, in OTAs and minicamps, has played guard, which has been really interesting. In fact, like there have been plays where Caleb Jones at left tackle and Kadeem Telford at left guard, and you just get this enormous left side of your offensive line, and they've run behind it, and it's worked pretty darn well. I'm intrigued. If Telford can show he can play a little bit of guard and be a bit of a mover at that spot, now he's got left tackle, right guard versatility. Like I said, he's a big dude. Just color me intrigued a little bit by the Kadeem Telford experience. I kind of like him. I kind of want him to be in that situation. I liked him a season ago. He was one of my top undrafted free agents for Green Bay last year. Survived the practice squad through the entirety of the year. I do think he looks already a little bit better, and somebody that I think is really going to be, you know, engaged in the conversation for a roster spot with one of those ninth or 10th, you know, offensive lineman spots that are ultimately going to be completely up for grabs with guys like Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Donovan Jennings, Royce Newman, and Kadeem Telford as well. Put his name clearly in that conversation, in my opinion. Number 63, I don't know that I ever would have necessarily even anticipated this guy getting this high on the list, but I've got to go Kenneth Odemegwu. Like, listen, that minicamp OTA was nothing to sneeze at. He was impressive. You know, he had multiple sacks. I think he had a 3-sack day on one of the practices. Like, this is a freak athlete who had no experience playing football, who just started playing football a year ago and is already looking the part as a defensive end one year later. Like, that is so massively impressive. I still think it's most likely that he's the extra guy in the practice squad with that international pathway program, you know, sort of protection that you get that extra guy and you can call him up if needed. But this went from one of those like, that's cool. They got a guy who's never played football before and he gets that extra spot and you get an extra guy in your scout team to, all right, you have my full attention, Kenneth Odemegwu, and you went from a fun story to potentially a guy that can really get his name in the conversation here, and that's a bigger story in and of itself, and he will absolutely be somebody I am keeping an extremely close eye on once training camp opens, because he's one of those guys off the bus, so you're like, okay, yep, get it. That makes sense. But again, not playing football before, you're just like, what's the likelihood? What are the odds? But he's progressing at a pretty exponential pace. And that's pretty exciting for, I'm sure, Odemegwu, I'm sure the Packers. And again, I think somebody that we now have to talk about is a real legitimate player to keep an eye on for potential roster spots, specifically probably on the practice squad, but maybe even beyond that moving forward. Number 62, Christian Welch. You know, he's a fifth-year guy at this point, which is kind of crazy. Inside linebacker, special teams dude. He's going to have to be awesome on special teams. Now, he's lucky in the fact that there's not a lot of depth at inside linebacker. You've got your top three in Quay and Edgerrin Cooper. Or sorry, I should say top four. Quay, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, and then Isaiah McDuffie. You've got Eric Wilson, Christian Welch. Wilson's a little bit on the older side, and those fifth and sixth spots are largely going to be determined on special teams, which gives Wilson and Welch a pretty good leg up. But if Welch shows any, you know, issues on teams or doesn't live up to that, you know, he's not a developmental linebacker at this point. He's going to be a number six linebacker, five or six linebacker that has to be a core special teamer. And then, you know, you could play him in a pinch at linebacker if you really needed to, but that's a thin line for a fifth year guy in Christian Welch. But he's good enough at special teams that he might just make it work and make another 53 for the Packers this season. Then last but not least, number 61 on my list, Henry Pearson, fullback, 1 year of experience out of App State. There's no Josiah DeGuara on the roster. So Henry Pearson's kind of competing with himself. If he shows that he is a piece that they can utilize, like that's kind of the one piece they don't have, right? We talk about all the different spices and flavors at wide receiver, the uniqueness at tight end of Musgrave, Kraft, even Ben Sims, all different types of running backs. But that fullback H-back spot is sort of not taken, unspoken for, unless Henry Pearson is that guy. And if he can, and he shows he can do it well, well, that's another, you know, sort of unique piece in LaFleur's arsenal that if it's not Pearson, they don't really have. Now, can they use a Tucker Kraft or a Ben Sims, AJ Dillon, maybe in a couple H-back sort of fullback snaps here and there? Sure. But Pearson would be the guy that if you really want that role, he's the best guy on the team to do it. But now the question is he good enough? And do you want somebody in that role on this team? So that is my players ranked 90 through 61. Raylan Goforth, James Esther, Messiah Swinson, Tyler Coyle, Ellis Merriweather, Joel Wilson, Lasita Smith, Alex Magoo, Christian Young, Spencer Wagge, Zion Gilbert, Jarvion Howard, Aaron Mosby, Deslon Alexander, Dimitri Stanley, Julian Hicks, Peter Bowden, Matt Orzik, James Turner, Gemin Green, Greg Joseph, Benny Sapp, Jonathan Ford, Royce Newman, Keyshawn Banks, Donovan Jennings, Kadeem Telford, Kenneth Onomegwu, Christian Welch, and Henry Pearson. Let me know if you'd order anything different or if any of these guys you feel like should be higher on the list and maybe not in today's conversation. If you think they should have been in tomorrow's in the 60 to 31 range, we'd love to hear that as well. You guys are the absolute best. Appreciate you guys a ton. Players 60 through 31 tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Dan Guestford, and Peter Ratacha. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.